Good evening. It's great to be here. Thank you very much, Pete, and the rest of the congregation at Lerwick for inviting me to come and preach. I think Pete's got an easy one tonight. He's just in communion. Shall we just have a quick word of prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this evening and say, oh, make us understand it. Help us to take it in. What is meant for you, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. Amen. I'm going to read again from John. I think we didn't communicate that, did we? But that's okay. It's always good to hear the word of God. Reading from John 20, verses 1 to 18. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the temple first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He spoke into the void, when the darkness was in the face of the deep, and he spoke the formless earth into being. Speaking over the 6 days, he displayed his creative power, and it was very good. He saw the destruction and the chaos that man brought into earth. His heart broke when the separation from God took place. He watched over the centuries as God chose a people to call his own. He was spoken of by the prophets. He was detailed within the Psalms. He was born into a Christmas story. And yet, though the world was made through him, when he came into the world, it did not recognize him. But now, still in the darkness, there is a new day, the first day of the week. A new week, a new creation, a new world. And who should be the first to come into contact with this new day but Mary Magdalene? She is the first to bring the news about the empty tomb. And in the next verses after what we just read, she is the first to meet the risen Jesus. However, it seems at first that this empty tomb is another blow to the shattered hopes and dreams of a friend of Jesus. Another twist of the knife, if you like. Another evil act committed. Body stolen, taken away. And not knowing what to do, she runs to tell her story to Peter and John. And they run too, back to the tomb though. And although John arrives first and sees the linen, Peter, just as he is, bowls straight in past John, straight into the tomb. The linen clothes are there. The cloth had been wrapped around his head. And then John walks in and he believes. He walks in and he believes. The linen cloths and the cloth that had been wrapped around his head are there. Do you remember or know that it was Joseph or Arimathea who asked permission to take the Lord's body after he died? And he was accompanied by Nicodemus, who brought along spices. What a scene. Hard to imagine what these two noble men must have witnessed as they tenderly carried his body and prepared it for laying in the tomb, putting on the linen clothes and the cloth wrapped around his head. But that happened on the Friday. And this is now the first day of the new week. The funeral clothes are empty. The cloth is to one side. And what are we told of John? We are told that he saw and that he believed. Something new surges up in John. Perhaps explosive joy at God's creative power. Perhaps wonder at God's staggering grace. But whatever it is, it's a different awareness. A bit like falling in love. At some point you just know. A bit like faith. And though he had faith before, faith that Jesus was Messiah, faith that he was going to restore God's people and God's earth, this was different in some way. He saw and he believed. What did he believe? Maybe he believed the "it is finished" cry from the cross. Believed the new creation had begun. Believed that God had said an affirmative yes to Jesus, to all that had been done and accomplished. He believed that Jesus was alive again. He didn't believe, though, that Jesus had gone to heaven. People often think that when they hear that he's been raised from the dead. Mary Magdalene's conversation with him in verse 17 shows that Jesus had not gone to heaven. This is a resurrection. He had risen from the dead, both body and spirit. The body was not there when the disciples reached the tomb. He had risen bodily. It's a truth that is striking, because if the enemies could have produced a body, that would have ended the whole thing. There was no body because Jesus was raised bodily. His body was not exactly like the body that died, and yet it was like the body that died. There's a continuity and a discontinuity. This is important because the resurrection of Jesus in the New Testament is viewed as the first fruits of the harvest of the resurrection of all Christians. As Paul puts it, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. This is wonderful news for those that are in Christ. That is, who believe in him and belong to him and receive forgiveness and reconciliation from him. You will be raised with him. But why has John gone to the bother of telling us about the linen cloths? The point of saying that the linen cloths were there and even mentioning the cloth that was around his face. I don't know exactly, but I'd like to suggest that this was to show that the resurrection was different from Lazarus' resurrection. Jesus raised the man Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, after he'd been dead for 4 days. And what it says is that the man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." People were there to help Lazarus out of his linen cloths and face covering. That's because he had a mortal body. He would die again. After the resurrection, Jesus did not have a mortal body. He would never die again. We know that Jesus, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Jesus' body is different. He simply passed through those grave clothes. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus, the Word who became flesh, entered into history. He spoke, he lived and breathed and set out to make sure all things would be accomplished. The cross was and is the event in history. But so is the resurrection. Scripture was being fulfilled. The prophecies, the Psalms, not just echoing but describing the story of all stories. And when Christ cried from the cross, "It is finished," it fulfilled all that had gone before. The finished cry breaks open the life story which all are called towards. The finished cry sounds a fatal blow to death, a fatal blow to evil, and a fatal blow to sin. But they are truly conquered within the resurrection. No more fear in death, no more, no more. So what does that mean? Without a resurrection, our faith is futile. Without a resurrection, we lack certainty. We lack hope. But yet within the resurrection, God's purposes are accomplished. They are fulfilled and they are achieved. If we have no certainty concerning life after death, we move forwardly, relentlessly, on into the jaws of death. We're running a race that seems to have no goal. We're building something that will be left unfinished. We'll never be able to see the labor of our hands, any results of the labor of our hands. And that's the way with most of the world today. Life has no integrating factor. And so is it any wonder that people who have no certainty concerning the future are so easily discouraged, so lacking hope? Every time I visit my parents down in Glasgow, the journey includes some driving along some of the more affluent roads in the area. Each time I look at a particular property, its original house was knocked down and a new one built. But the whole process has taken about 11 or 12 years. Each time I pass, there's a new addition, a new fence, a new front door, a garage, an electric gate. But the sad thing is, it's never been finished. That house has never become a home because no one has ever even moved in. It is unfinished. But we have a God who offers a future hope and a future home. We have an integrating factor and we have a goal, a life to live, and we will see the result in the labor of our hands. And this is the truth. With the resurrection, something has been decisively altered. Something has been achieved. What is it that's been altered and achieved? Well, it's a brand new, unbelievably rich relationship has been established between God and his people. We are welcomed into a new world, a world where we can know God the way Jesus knew God, where we can be intimate children with our Father. He was the Word, but he was also the new Adam, the gardener, given the task of bringing the destructive power of death into order and ushering in the power of God, the kingdom of God, uprooting the thorns and thistles of life's journey, which sting and cut, and instead replacing them with new life and harvest, which refresh our spirits, bind up our broken hearts, restore us and help us to grow as it's intended to be. We are not Mary. We are the Johns in our story. We do not get to meet Jesus face to face yet. We are the ones who receive the fantastic opportunity to choose and to believe and receive the resurrection power that has been achieved through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus is the answer to all life's big questions, to the heartbreaks, to the broken dreams. He's more powerful than you can imagine. He's more mysterious than you can know. He's more glorious than the brightest star. He is vibrantly uncontrollable, whole life-giving, depth of soul enriching. He's a burden bearer, a rescue worker, a real body healer, a champion of the weak, a comforter to the broken, to the lost and to the bereaved. And I could go on and I could go on, and I'm sure you could too. But within God and only within him, we have the confidence to go forward in our faith. Not just stay stationary and comfortable and do things the way that they've always been done. Instead, we are given a firm purpose for life and the things of God. We have the opportunity to ask him where he wants and what he wants us to do. We are given the ability to hear what he's asking us to give up for him. And we're able to get involved in what he is wanting to do, instead of what we want to do and asking him to simply bless it, because that's not how it works. But do not be concerned. Instead, be encouraged. The same power for each of us is there available. The raised Jesus from the dead is available to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit, who Jesus provided us with, is our ever-present counselor and help. And the Holy Spirit is there providing the strengthening in our inmost being, with the same power that worked through the resurrection. With that power of the resurrection in you, working through you, we're able to live out the life that he has called us towards. With an understanding of the resurrection and the fact that Jesus Christ forgives all that we've done, this changes lives. Enables you to undergo the trials of life, to endure the persecution, to deal with the anxiety or the stress or the grief, because Jesus knows and he understands. And in his power, he will help you not just survive, not just keep on plodding on, but he will provide you access to his endless grace, mercy, love, and power, enabling you not to survive, but to flourish, to grow, to blossom, to be restored, and to use you to help in ushering in his kingdom. This is what he's called you towards. In him, you are given new life. Let's fast forward from that first Easter day to another Lord's Day. This time we are on an island, the island of Patmos. And John, who entered the tomb on the first day of this week, is in the Spirit. There are no linen clothes to be seen, but instead he hears a loud voice like a trumpet. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he had held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever." What he said to John, he also says to each one of us. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. Amen.